So the four remaining liberal justices have formed a fantastic new singing group. Well, you've heard of the Supremes. Well, this is not them. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome the disco stylings of Justices Souter, Breyer, Stevens, and Ginsburg.
Well, you can see Democrats are out of sorts, worried about the Supreme Court.
Getting old!
So be your friends.
Our legal briefs are now depends.
Are we all right? Are we ill?
Don't give Bush more seats to fill.
If the court starts to sway, even atheists will pray.
As long as he is drooling, Justice Stevens can keep ruling. Gotta
keep us alive. Keep us alive.
Another right-wing justice that really would discuss us. Gotta
keep us alive. Keep us alive.
Ah,
Oi!
Keep us alive.
Does anyone remember when we signed the Magna Carta?
12:15.
12:15, dagnabbit, it's 1 o'clock. I missed it by 45 minutes.
Well, they say Stevens might be King Tut's twin, and Breyer's niece was Anne Boleyn.
He's sooner older than he seems. His pacemaker runs on steam.
But I'm all right. I feel great with my grapefruit-sized prostate.
Oh. We've been knocked down before.
Once was in the Civil War.
Conservatives will fight them, and the thing we'll do to spite them is we're
staying alive, staying alive.
We're moving like a tortoise. It might be rigor mortis, but we're
staying alive, staying alive.
Ah, 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 ah,
choo!
Thanks for returning to Great Speeches and Interviews on Axis Sacramento and The Voice. I'm Steve Lerman. If you're just tuning into this broadcast, we're listening to Elizabeth Warren talk about fixing the banks and lifting the middle class.
And he said, it's predatory lending. This is why I need to go to the United States Congress. I've tried to deal with it in the state legislature. I've tried to deal with it in state laws. The federal regulators are holding us off. They won't let us act to protect our own citizens. I've got to be able to move to Washington to do something about predatory lending. He went on and on and on. And I'm still just standing there with my hand. And finally gets all the way to the end. And then he says, with his great smile, well... And I said, you had me at predatory lending.
Okay, so the president has a lot of people in this room as well. But Christy asks a good question. So what can you ask this captive group to do tomorrow to help you help America?
Okay, two things. I don't want just one. I'm not getting paid for this. I'm not getting out of here without two asks. The first one is, there's a dust-up right now about the consumer agency. Bear with me for a second on funding. All banking regulators, those who have to stand up to the big, powerful financial institutions in this country and say anything to them, have always been independently funded. That means outside the political process. Now, like I said, there's a little twist in that. Some of them got their money from the banks. But the banks had to choose at least one regulator and be in the system and pay. The Fed gets its money, of course, from selling treasuries. They're outside the political process because of lobbying, because of political influence, and this has always been the case. The consumer agency is set up in what I believe is a profound statement of poetic justice, and that is, here's how I interpret the law. Congress said to the Fed, you were responsible for dealing with consumers and protecting consumers for many decades now. And it's true, if you go back and read the statute, they should have been. They should have been actively involved in the mortgage crisis. They had the laws to head it off. And they failed to do so. So Congress said from the day Dodd-Frank is signed going forward, you must tithe 10% of your income to consumers. And that will become the budget of the new Consumer Financial Protection Bureau. So we get the tithed money, and it keeps us out of the political process. There is a move in the House right now to try to pull us back into the political process, which, by the way, would add to the national debt, to put us back into the political process so that lobbyists would be able year after year after year to attack our funding. And the reason I think this is so important about what's going on, I don't think anybody's going to try to repeal the consumer agency. But if you can rip its arms and legs off so that it can't do anything, then you get the same effect. So the first to ask is email somebody powerful tomorrow, somebody who has a connection to Washington, and say, the consumer agency stays independent. That's the first thing. The second thing goes at this from a different point, and that is, I just want to mention about community bankers and credit unions. They fought the consumer agency, and I understand why. They are very worried about additional regulatory burdens. And they looked at this and just said, oh my God, this could be one more regulation. And we are already, think about it, they have to follow the same regulations as largely as a trillion-dollar institution. A trillion-dollar institution spreads that across a gazillion accounts. A community bank or credit union has got to spread that across a very small number of accounts. And so they've been very deeply concerned, and I understand that. I've been trying to reach out to community banks, to credit unions, because I think we should be partners with them. I think the kind of business model they follow is what we want to see for the American people. At the end of the day, I don't want to be part of a consumer agency that causes even more concentration in the banking industry, that causes us to end up with three or four quadrillion-dollar banks and nobody else, no diversity in this system. So if you have a connection to a community bank or a community banker, to a credit union, talk to them about the consumer agency and talk to them about what they're doing and what we're doing. We should be together on that.
And explain,
I could use your help.
Explain briefly how we can do this and do it for the troops, which just helps politically, with Mrs. Petraeus.
So one of the best parts of doing this agency is that you get to see a lot of people who really care about this set of issues, and have lived different parts of it. One of the parts is what's happened to military families. Military families have often been targeted for some of the most abusive forms of credit. This has been true with payday loans, title loans, but also with certain kinds of mortgages. And military families, of course, face certain challenges about being moved around. Families, now we're getting two couples who are both military, and they get sent to different places, a lot of special challenges. I was on the job a week when Holly Petraeus came to see me sat in my office. She was working for the Better Business Bureau on a military outreach initiative on credit, and started lecturing me. There's just really no other way to describe it. Started lecturing me on the loopholes in the law that needed to be closed and better enforcement of the laws. And by the way, online, what are you planning to do about that? They're targeting military service members. And, you know, by the time she took her third breath, which was long way into her conversation, I thought, this is a woman who should come work for this agency. And so Mrs. Petraeus is now the head of our Service Member Affairs office. And she's terrific. I am also pleased. I want to say this because this is what you really need to understand. She gets it. I mean, she was military. She grew up in a military family. Her father was military. Her grandfather was military. This goes back for a long time. Obviously, her husband, General Petraeus, her son is in the military. But she gets what's happened to these families, and she is deeply and profoundly passionate about it. I want to say this. She is like the other people who work at this agency, who may not have such famous names, but all of whom believe that what we're trying to do is we're trying to do a little good in a very dangerous world for some families who really, really need it. So thank you for the opportunity to talk about it.
Hear great speeches and interviews at Access Sacramento every Sunday from 6 to 8 p.m. or go to greatspeechesandinterviews.blogspot.com. Coming up next, from the Movie Network, Howard Beale declaims the death of democracy.
I got up here and asked you people to stand up and fight for your heritage, and you did, and it was beautiful. 6 million telegrams were received at the White House. The Arab takeover of CCA has been stopped. The people spoke. The people won. It was a radiant eruption of democracy. But I think that was it, fellas. That sort of thing is not likely to happen again.
Because at the bottom of all our terrified souls, we know that democracy is a dying giant, a sick, sick, dying, decaying political concept writhing in its final pain. I don't mean that the United States is finished as a world power. The United States is the richest, the most powerful, the most advanced country in the world, light years ahead of any other country. And I don't mean the communists are going to take over the world, because the communists are deader than we are. What is finished is the idea that this great country is dedicated to the freedom and flourishing of every individual in it. It's the individual that's finished. It's the single, solitary human being that's finished. It's every single one of you out there that's finished. Because this is no longer a nation of independent individuals. It's a nation of some 200-odd million transistorized, deodorized, whiter-than-white, steel-belted bodies, totally unnecessary as human beings, and as replaceable as piston rods.
Well, the time has come to say, is dehumanization such a bad word? Because good or bad, that's what is so. The whole world is becoming humanoid, creatures that look human but aren't. The whole world, not just us, we're just the most advanced country, so we're getting there first. The whole world's people are becoming mass-produced, programmed, numbered, insensate things.
Talking about I owe, harassing my spouse. Gotta park my truck on another block, cause the subprime loan got my ass in hock. Got a couple good friends with helping hands. I need a brand new job with a healthcare plan. They closed the plan, they stole my job, and told me crime don't pay unless you ask the mob. So I smoke a little grass, drink a little wine, watch a little tube, try to kill a little time. Every single day I'm about a little more behind, but I'm paying it no mind, it'll all be fine. I get by, I barely get by, I barely get by. People in the place to be, put your hands in the sky if you're barely getting by. Sounding on to the break of dawn, got to keep the rent paid and the power on. Yes, yes, y'all, and it never stops. I don't trust the government, I don't trust no cops. We dip and we dive and we socialize. We struggle and we strive just to stay alive. I get by, I barely get by. Get home, I can't relax, cause I've been overworked and I've been overtaxed. My bank account's empty, all my cards are maxed, and I ain't looking for no pity, I'm stating the facts. I voted for some change, and it's kinda strange, now it's all I got in my pocket. I bought a few LEDs, now I'm growing some trees, and it's a sweet fucking hustle, don't knock it. I told y'all before I would break the law to put food in my baby girl's belly, cause the senator man took a bribing hand and went and shipped my job to New Delhi. I get by, I barely get by, I barely get by. Your hands in the sky if you're barely getting by. Sounding on to the break of dawn, got to keep the rent paid and the power on. Yes, yes, y'all, and it never stops. I don't trust the government, I don't trust no cops. I dip and I dive and I socialize. I struggle and I strive just to stay alive. I get by, I barely get by, get by.
The leaves blow across the long black road to the darkened sky in its rain.
So many people say come up and say, my father was in prison with you.
My father was in prison with you.
Right. I hear that. I hear a lot about that. Actually, I wrote Folsom Prison Blues one night after I saw a movie called Inside the Walls of Folsom Prison. I was in the Air Force in Germany in 1952 when I wrote it. The thing then was to hope someday I could sing on the radio, you know, sing a song on the radio.
Yeah.
And so I didn't. I never thought about recording the song when I wrote it. But I wrote it as if I tried to write it as if I were a criminal, you know.
Well, that was a stretch, I know.
No, yeah, it was a real stretch. And I thought about what is the most evil thing evil reason a man could do for killing somebody. And I figured just to watch him die, you know, might be a pretty good evil reason.
That's the attitude I like.
I hear the train a-coming, it's rolling around the bend. And I ain't seen the sunshine since I don't know when. I'm stuck in Folsom Prison, and time keeps dragging on. But that train keeps rolling on down to San Antone. When I was just a baby, my mama told me, son, always be a good boy, don't ever play with guns. But I shot a man in Reno just to watch him die. When I hear that whistle blowing, I hang my head and cry.
Play with it.
I bet there's rich folks eating in a fancy dining car. They're probably drinking coffee and smoking big cigars. Well, I know I had it coming. I know I can't be free. But those people keep a moving, and that's what tortures me.
Pick it one more time, Willie. One more chance.
From this prison, if that railroad train was mine, bet I'd move it on a little farther down the line. Far from Folsom Prison, that's where I want to stay. And I'd let that lonesome whistle blow my blues away.
That's all, folks.